Stress is affecting so many people. In fact, it's a global pandemic. And what we've all discovered is that the shallow band-aid solutions that the world offers us simply don't work. What we need to alleviate stress is power. Power to deal with the stress in our lives once and for all. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series called Stress Busters, a series that's been striking a real nerve with many people, judging from the feedback we've been having. So let's head into God's Word, and do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you live in the quiet confidence and peace that God has ready and waiting for you. Sometimes we need to be pretty direct, pretty blunt about dealing with the blockages in our lives that are interrupting the flow of the power of God in our life. Because God means to bring all His power to bear to deal with the things that cause you stress, we need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves some questions like this. So, are you one of those people that exudes joy or sadness? A positive outlook or a negative outlook? Encouragement or discouragement? Which one are you? Are you a sad sack? Or are you someone who encourages others? Or do you fluctuate between the two? Up on mountaintops one day, down in the dumps the next. The reason I'm asking you this stuff is that if you're someone who spends more than just a little time down in the dumps, then it's having a real impact on you. It's having an impact on the people around you. It's impacting your relationships with them. That's pretty far-reaching, because if we damage relationships, we damage career prospects, we damage marriages, we damage our children. So this is serious stuff. Stress is debilitating, and it's a negative, untrusting attitude that focuses on the problem rather than on the God who can make all the difference. And that focus interrupts the power that God wants to pour out on us. On top of that, the world wants us to believe that we can, I don't know, wave a magic wand and make stress disappear. Here's what one of those body and soul websites recommends. 10 quirky stress busters, it's called. Chew gum. Eat chocolate. Oh, that's just going to be fine and dandy when you come down off your sugar high. Get a cat. Keep a diary. Do some yoga. Hum a tune. Blow a balloon. Snack on walnuts. Well, walnuts are a lot better than sugar-filled gum and chocolate, I have to admit. Have a laugh. Or ring your mother. Oh, please. Stress is so much deeper. It's so much more profound in our lives. It's a constant companion for many, many people. Everything stresses them out. Or if not everything, then they go through prolonged periods of stress over one or two very important issues or situations in their lives. Now, you've probably figured out that eating walnuts, as good as that may be for you, is not going to solve the problems in your life or relieve your stress. At least, I'm hoping you have. You see, the world's answer to stress is to conjure something up out of nothing, or to apply an external band-aid to heal a deep internal wound. Have you ever had this experience? You're driving along in the car and it's a bright sunny day, so you pop your sunglasses on. But gradually, the clouds roll in, and at some point you're thinking, hang on, it's a pretty dark, gloomy old day out there. Then you realize you're wearing your sunnies, so you take them off. And it's only then that you realize that it's nowhere near as dark and as gloomy as you thought it was. Sure, the clouds have rolled in, and sure, it's overcast, but it's not that dark and that gloomy. The attitudes of our hearts are a lot like those sunglasses. Some people are walking through difficult times with a gloomy, darkened heart. And so the whole experience feels about 100 times worse than what it really is. God knows that. And that's why He's concerned over the state of your heart. Have a listen to some of the things that He says in His Word about what's going on in your heart. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. An anxious heart weighs you down, but a kind word cheers you up. Chapter 15, verse 13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Chapter 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up your bones. See, God is interested in the state of your heart. He's interested in what's going on in your life. Now, last time we were together, we chatted about how to get God's peace guarding your heart and your mind. Do you remember? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Simply by praying instead of worrying, giving thanks, laying out our worries and concerns and needs openly before God, what God promises here is that he will replace the fear and the stress and the worry and the anxiety with his peace, which won't just fill our hearts, but will actually guard our hearts and our minds. Imagine God's peace standing guard outside your heart and mind to keep worry and stress away. Now that is a pretty good deal. But what the Apostle Paul goes on to say straight after that, writing as he was from his cell on death row, is equally instructive in terms of how to foster that peace, how to keep that cheerfulness and joy, how to make sure you don't get a gloomy heart, how to make sure that God's peace makes us strong inside. So let's look at the next two verses, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, beloved, remember, he's sitting on death row here. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul's saying here, do yourself a favor. Instead of mulling over the bad stuff and what might go wrong, think about the good stuff. Now, you might say to me, I can't control what I think about. Sure you can. When you find yourself thinking about something negative, you can choose to think about something positive. Try it. It actually works. And if you're struggling, you go back to prayer and the Holy Spirit, who is, remember, guarding your heart and your mind with God's peace. That same Holy Spirit is right there in you to be a part of all of this and to help you. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as your counselor and your comforter. And now the exciting thing that happens is that we get the benefit from that on the inside. But other people, the people around us, get the benefit from it as it oozes out of us on the outside. Do you want to be glum? Do you really want to spend the rest of your life being downcast? Do you really want to feel down in the dumps all the time? Of course you don't. No one does. So now you implement these two simple things. Pray instead of worrying. And when you find your mind wandering down, 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 down into the dark things, grab it back with the help of the Holy Spirit who's on your inside and who's on your side, and focus it on the good stuff, the stuff that God is about in your life, the stuff that brings you joy, the good things that God's doing, God's faithfulness, the fantastic things he's done in the past. And now you are living a much, much better life on the inside. You're at peace. Your heart is cheerful. Jesus wants you to have a cheerful heart. Remember what he said to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33? Hey, guys, in this world you are going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So now your life is much better. Now this peace and this joy is oozing out of you because you can't contain it. And all of a sudden, you can't help it. You want to encourage other people. You're having an impact in their lives. You cast a cheerful look. And Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30 says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart and good news gives health to the bones. So the cheerful look on your face is going to bring joy to someone else's heart. The encouraging word that you give to them, the good news that you can share with them, is going to give health and life to their bones. Your joy touches their lives. Your life improves their life. Your relationship with them improves, all because you took the time and the wisdom of God to lay hold of the peace and the joy that God has for you. Talk about a stress buster. That's not bad, eh? And on top of all that, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you get it? When we let the joy of God fill us amidst the gloom, all of a sudden, we experience his strength and his power. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you live in the quiet confidence and peace that God has ready and waiting for you. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day, and it's completely free. To get instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the fresh e-devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. All right, for some people, stress is a constant companion, if you can call it that. They wish they weren't stressed, but they are. Well, there's a reason for that. It turns out that they're looking down instead of looking up. Well, over these last few weeks, we've been chatting about how to deal with the stress in our lives. Not all stress is bad. Some stress from time to time helps us to get things done and to sharpen our game and to deliver on time and to perform. I mean, think about the athlete about to run a 100-meter dash at the Olympic Games. They're going to harness that nervous energy, let's call it, as they line up on the starting blocks. And that's a good thing. It's just not good if we're constantly living our lives under stress. And so we've been chatting in this series that I've called Stress Busters about dealing with the root cause of stress. No band-aid solutions like listening to soothing music or having a nice cup of tea or patting your cat. I mean, that's all nice and lovely. But when we're under real stress, all those things do is alleviate the symptoms for a short time. What we really need is to deal with the root cause of our stress. Now, immediately people think, stress, root cause. Ah, right. It's that person, that situation, that medical diagnosis, that thing out there. That's what I have to deal with. Well, perhaps you do. But pressure and stress are two entirely different things. Those things out there put pressure on us. But stress is all about how we react to them. So if we're looking for the root cause of stress, it lies inside us, in our hearts, in our minds, in what we feel and what we think. So we've chatted in this series about some real stress busters, things that deal with the root cause, learning to trust in God, learning how to develop a quiet confidence in Him and how to pray the prayer of peace, how to have a cheerful heart. And if you missed any of those messages, you'll find them all in this series called Stress Busters at our website, ChristianityWorks.com. So I'd like to bring all of those lessons together in a practical case study, if you will, by sharing the story of a woman called Hannah. She was the prophet Samuel's mother in the Old Testament of the Bible. But as with many great things that God does, Samuel's entry into the world wasn't an easy one, at least not for Hannah. It was very stressful. In fact, she was deeply, deeply distressed for a very long period of time. So just sit back and have a listen to her story. It's real, it's stressful, and it's beautiful. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jerome, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests unto the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up there to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and wouldn't eat. But her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they'd eaten and drunken at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself to the Lord. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed, and she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor will touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered him, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." So Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. Beautiful story, isn't it? You can't help but feel for Hannah and what she was going through. It was a really big thing in that culture for her not to be able to have a child. The basic belief was that if you were a good person who honored God, he would bless you with many children. But if you weren't, he wouldn't. So Hannah was looked down upon by all and sundry, particularly Peninnah, her rival, we're told, the other wife who was delivering plenty of sons to their husband. Just imagine how much stress this was putting on Hannah. Firstly, she couldn't have children, and any woman whose body clock is ticking and who desperately wants to have kids but can't, well, they know how devastating that is just on its own. But now, add to that this constant niggling and whispering and derision from her rival. There they were, the two of them, competing for their husband's affections. I just can't begin to imagine what an awful additional layer of stress that heaped on Hannah. And then there were the social and religious expectations, everyone treating her like she was some sinner or leper. She could have spent the rest of her life wallowing in the morass of that pain and self-pity. But Hannah, she took some decisive action. She poured it all out to God. Instead of constantly looking down at her terrible circumstances, she lifted her gaze and looked up to him and, deeply distressed, we're told, poured her heart out to God and asked him to do something. And before she even got an answer, before she even fell pregnant, listen again to the impact of this prayer on her whole being, on her countenance, on her life. Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. See, there you have it. The peace that passes all understanding. She did exactly what the Apostle Paul counseled his friends in Philippi to do over 2,000 years later. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Listen, we don't have to clean up our act. We don't have to have perfect faith before we go before God. We don't have to be all full of confidence and self-assured and all together. He just calls us to come as we are and pull it all out to him. And you should never, ever be afraid to do that. In fact, elsewhere in the New Testament book of Hebrews, this is what God says about this very thing. Hebrews 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Don't you love that word? With boldness. So as our time in this series, Stress Busters, draws to a close, let me counsel you to do the same. Do what Hannah did. Lift up your eyes, pour out your stress on God, and my friend, he will act. And whatever the outcome to your stressful situation is, he'll give you peace, because that's what he does. God is a God who brings his power to bear for the people whom he loves, his people, the people who've put their trust in Jesus, his son. He doesn't always take away the person or the situation that's causing us the stress. But what he does do is he works in our hearts. He gives us a strength and a courage and a joy and a peace and a power that remove the stress. They blow it right out of the water. But there's one thing that robs us of all of that. And that's the thing we're going to talk about after this short break. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Life is full of pressures and fears. We can't change that. But stress, well, that's simply our reaction to those pressures and fears, and that we can change, absolutely. That's why I'd love to send you a copy of our latest life application booklet called The 5 Ways to Eliminate Stress. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live a life of quiet, confidence, and peace. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. The 5 ways to eliminate stress. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Okay, so what's that thing that interrupts the flow of God's power? Let's take a look. Have you ever been in a power blackout? Here where I live, they're actually quite rare. But in many parts of the world, they're a daily occurrence. And in some parts of the world, there's no power at all. I travel quite a bit and I regularly find myself in places where there's no power or there are constant blackouts. In a sense, you get used to it pretty quickly. When you're sitting talking in a meeting and bang, the power goes off, well, you just keep talking until either the generator cuts in or, if there's no generator, until the power comes back on. It's just a fact of life. You learn to live with it. But when I come back home again to a place where the power almost never goes out, I have to tell you, it's a much, much better way to live. I think in the 3 years that I've been living in our current apartment, we've lost the power maybe once or twice. See, many people are living their lives spiritually, emotionally, morally, either in a state of regular power outages, blackouts, or in a place without any power at all. And the thing that flicks the switch on God's power in their lives is their sin. Have a listen to this. The Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. He says, "Look, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power." See, God put that power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. See, Paul is praying that his friends in Ephesus would realize the certain hope, the riches of their inheritance, and the immeasurable greatness of God's power that they already have in Christ. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead and put him above everything and everyone. Do you see, God means to bring this power, that life-giving power, to bear in your life, to give you the new life that Jesus died and rose again to give you. But when we rebel against God, when we turn our backs on him through our sin, the power stops. Why? Well, come on, what good father would continue to reward and bless his child when the child is rebelling? As much as the father loves the child, he stops the flow of blessing so that the child will realize its mistakes and come back to him. It's what dads do. It's the same with God. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked, because you and I reap whatever we sow. If we sow to our flesh, we'll reap corruption from the flesh. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap eternal life from the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. One of the most stressful things that we can ever do is to rebel against God. We talked about that earlier in this series. And as God calls us back to him, often he turns up the heat on our stress as we live through the consequences of our sin and our rebellion. When we keep struggling against and kicking against God, when we run away from his goodness and his plans for our life, man, be prepared for a wilderness experience, right? And I know that there are a few people in that place right at this moment. You're experiencing extreme stress because you've turned your back on God. Well, in a moment, we are going to pray together, and this is what we're going to pray about. Peter said to them, "Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You see, when you repent, when you turn back to God, he promises you the power of the Holy Spirit, the greatest stress buster of them all. So come on, let's pray. God, I've heard about Jesus today, and I'm so sorry for my rebellion, my sin. I turn away from all that I know is wrong and turn my life back over to you. Please forgive me through Jesus, your Son. Jesus, who died for my sins and rose again to give me a new eternal life. I accept Jesus today as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, with your power, the power to live the new life you've just given me. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, or perhaps the first time in a long time, then I want to encourage you to get along to a vibrant Bible-believing church so that you can grow in your relationship with God. And I've recorded a series of messages called So Now What? Just for you. You'll find the links in the Jesus section of our website, ChristianityWorks.com. Remember, everything on the site is free, including that booklet I mentioned earlier, The 5 Ways to Eliminate Stress. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life, to bring His joy and His peace and His power into you. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.